Okay, well, adoption of the agenda for Wednesday, November 18th.
Yeah, I'll move that.
Moved, seconded.
I'll second.
Peter. Second, all those in favor?
Yeah, I'm in favor.
Thank you. Adoption of the minutes of October 14th. Have a mover?
I'll move it.
Moved, seconded?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor?
We're in favor.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, we'll go into business arising from the minutes. This is really going to be the only part of the agenda that is up for discussion. As status of recommendation to council, which is section 4 of the agenda, is happening at today's council meeting, so we can't really go into that part of the meeting. So we'll talk about bikes in Heritage Park, or inherited in Heritage Forest. Now, this came from a couple of residents that wrote letters into council with the concern of the trails. I don't know if anyone had the chance to read the letters, but it's essentially the trails not being wide enough or safe enough for bikes while you have foot pedestrians on the trails. During the council meeting, I asked that it go to this committee as well as the Heritage Forest Commission. Now, Luke, I don't know if you can comment on this. Has the Heritage Forest Commission reviewed this item? Because I know on our agenda it says this item is to be tabled for the next committee meeting, at which time comments made by the Heritage Forest Commission will be reviewed. So where are we at with that?
It hasn't been reviewed by the Heritage Forest Commission yet.
Okay.
Well, Robert.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, you know that the Quahog Beach Heritage Forest brochure only mentions motorized vehicles and horses being prohibited. And also the signs to the park there, that's basically what they say. So cyclists are not prohibited. There's no signage saying a cyclist can't be on it.
That's right.
So, and I know I rode on that, well, way back when it was first there on the driveway to the caretaker's house and all that, and the odd trail, because you can't really go fast in there anyhow. It's slow moving, but I can understand totally if you're walking, you don't want cyclists on there.
Yeah, I mean, from a council perspective, when this came to our meeting, more or less the reason why I wanted it to go to be referred to this committee as well as the commission is I don't believe in banning bikes completely from our trail networks, especially the Heritage Forest. I ride my bike through there. I think it's a matter of, do we put up safe signage to remind foot pedestrians that there's the possibility of bikes coming through?
Right.
Do we put up signage to remind our cyclists to be mindful of foot pedestrians in the forest? You know, I think it's that type of thing that we need to look at.
That's quite definite. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
That's right. I mean, we've gotten complaints as well on council from residents complaining that that we have the high school groups doing their gym runs to the Heritage Forest. So, I mean, when you start getting into those types of things, you actually have to, you know, filter what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll have to wait for the Heritage Forest Commission, but if the committee wants to discuss this and maybe give some recommendations to the commission. I also sit on the commission as the council liaison, so I get to go back and forth with both. Rob, Peter, do you guys have anything to add to that? Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we brought it up last meeting, right? And we put it back to the commission, and we were asking for, I believe the recommendation discussion was around what is the plan? What is the user plan for that particular trail network as well as other parks? And it's interesting when you have a look at the aerial view of the Heritage Forest, it's intersections and access for residential communities like Qualicum Woods, and how that trail could be used as a commuter trail or a bicycle riding trail. And so I'm struggling with the notion that, you know, two people write an email and it creates a lot of activity. It's actually, it's the wrong way that these discussions should happen. The management group should determine what are the acceptable uses and plan accordingly. And so I'm struggling with how this is brought forward and the approach. And I hope that when you put it back to the Heritage Forest group, that they give some consideration to that. I'm totally not, not only that, mountain biking, I can't see the heritage forest being used for the type of mountain biking that would be unsafe for pedestrians.
Right.
So I think more information is needed. It's about user conflict around our trail networks and appropriate usage.
Yeah.
And to frame it that way. The notion of high school students running through the forest being problematic illustrates a problematic understanding of how those trails should be used. That's,
right.
That's a great use for that trail. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's some education pieces maybe that are needed.
Excellent. Thanks, Rob. Peter, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't. I don't pedal through there. Actually, it's been a while since I've been through there. I do know that I've helped put all the surface on that. That was a chip trail. And at that time, there seems to be no problems. Of course, that's a few years back. So I can't really offer any thoughts on this, whether it's a danger or whether the there's damage to the trail as a result of bicycle riding. I suspect that's not the case. But I'd have to leave that up to the Forest Commission.
Yeah, it's a, they're a tricky one because they're their own commission, their own identity. So we have to be careful with that one. But
right.
But it's perfect. Dan, I guess we'll leave this one. But Dan, if you have anything last to add there.
Well, you have to remember that the OCP on for Greenway Trails, say pedestrians, cyclists, et cetera, can use most of the trailways. And I think the kids will use it to go shortcut through. And it's nice. It's as long as somebody isn't using it for mountain biking, for speeding through things.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about it.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. We'll move on to the next one, field closure policy. This came up from discussion I think it was the last meeting when we're talking about field closures, especially in our winter months. Mr. Sales, did you have anything to discuss on this one? I had a couple of discussions with a couple of council members on this one, and everyone had some different ideas on how this should be approached. I don't know what you were thinking on this one.
I think this discussion really has to involve a number of stakeholders. Yeah, I don't think I'm prepared to make a specific recommendation. I mean, it involves a lot of user groups. It involves the RDN, and it involves park staff, for example. So because I know that there's technical reasons, technical factors that they consider when deciding to close a trail or close the field. And I think they have to be a part of that discussion. So, if this is something that the commission wants to advance, what I'd recommend is something like a recommendation to establish a working group to develop a field closure policy. You know what I mean? Like to establish the right venue for that discussion with the right participants.
Right. Okay.
I just think we could comment on that because
go ahead, Dan.
That affected what I was involved in for over 38 years here, field closure. And what happened in the early years and that was that the person in charge of the field from the town, he had established a rapport with the main user group coaches, and he'd leave it up to them because he could trust them, and we were able to do it. But about 3 or 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, I can't remember what it was, that's when people got promoted and changed, and they don't establish that rapport with the user groups. Like I would go out when we have a game on Sunday and a Campbell River team is supposed to come down and play a game at 12 o'clock. They want to be there at 11 o'clock to get warmed up properly. I would be out there even when the field hasn't been closed. If there was a lot of rain on Sunday and I would walk that field and I did like last year, cancel one Sunday. And then the when it was 12 o'clock, the sun came out. I said, why did I cancel it? But hey, I think if you make a field closure policy and it's too strict, that's when problems arise because they have closed those parks too early. They'll close them on Friday, and yet we had games on Sunday on it. And so I think you've got to watch that. But I like the idea what Luke had said that perhaps it would establish a better rapport with the town and with the user groups if you involve them in a set committee to establish the rules, then it would be easy to do.
All right. Do we have further discussion on that? Peter, Rob, go ahead.
So if we're looking for a motion to move this along, because I think it's important. So maybe the motion would be that the Select Committee on Parks and Recreation recommends to council that staff be directed to establish a working group designed to inform the development of field closure policy and procedures.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's moved, seconded. Discussion?
You've heard mine.
Just a question for you, Dan. When you have more than one activity on the whole West Rec field area there, should not one person be responsible for that decision making?
What happens on, look, when you usually close the fields is in the winter months. So it's not basically baseball you have to close them on. It's primarily soccer. We're the ones out there in the lousy weather when nobody else wants to be outside to do the activities. And usually, the women's team and the men's team were always every other week or that playing. On Saturdays now, that's when the youth primarily play. So I still think it's very simple by sitting down with the group and let them work it out together. And one person, like the previous parks people, would trust the two or three coaches who were going to be doing it that day to open it or not. And it worked out great. There's the trust aspect. You know, we're part of the community. We're the user group for the unit. Do you think that we want to damage the bloody fields? No way. So that's if a coach did, then you couldn't trust that guy again. I remember even last week, when I had heard that a Nanaimo team was coming up, I contacted the person I knew who was in charge of the Vancouver Island rep team aspect, and I said, who are they, what are they? And I moved them to the other field. When they got there, I wasn't playing that day, but I went out and I said to them, you got to use the other field, even though you've been assigned to this field, because that other field is in better shape than this one.
So I wonder if I could amend that motion, if I'm allowed to, and in the sense that I'm cognizant of the fact it's not just about organized sport, Dan, and that perspective is really valuable, but we also just had a weekend of high winds, 80, 90 kilometer winds, and my suspicion is that the trails were open. So I was in, I was in a different community where the public beaches were closed as a result of the waves and storm hazards and blah, blah, blah. So it's not just it's not just the field. It's also trails, I would suggest.
This one we're talking about field closure.
Yeah. So maybe if I could, you can help me with the Robert's rules of this, but to amend that motion to include, to inform the development of field and trails closure policy and procedures.
Yeah, sure. So we can either do that as a friendly amendment. If the seconder is okay with just having that thrown into the motion, then we don't need to vote on an amendment. Dan, are you okay with that as an amendment?
Yeah, well, naturally, because I think the committee could say two different aspects of it. The sign could say the playing fields, like up at Springwood, they'll say playing fields closed.
Okay. Perfect. So we'll take that as a friendly amendment then. Haley Brandy, do you have that?
Yes, we do.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Further discussion on the motion? All right. If not, we're ready to call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right. Moving on into the next part of the agenda. It is, like I said earlier, it's status of recommendation to council now. These are to appear on the regular council meeting agenda of November 18th, which is obviously today. Council is meeting today at 3:30. So these motions will then reappear on our next committee's agenda.
Robert?
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
On that with the painting of the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
You know, the village of Wass had about 25 of them painted.
Yeah, okay.
And if you look at the site and all that, one woman did it. She did it free, basically, to tell you the truth. But it really like Snoopy and everything else, different aspects of it.
Okay.
You could easily say to the schools, the nearest hydrant school, why don't you have a little contest and then put it through a committee, whether it's our committee or not. Remember, our committee did look at the mural with the Echo Theater.
So, absolutely.
So we could do that, and or even in a residents association, some people may want it because it's in front of their place. They may want one. They would have to submit it to the committee. But also, if it was in a residents association, they could pay for the painting of it. And also with the artists and all that who wanted to do the work. I think the committee or the community could get behind this to a certain extent. I don't know what extent, but we should do something because it really looks good on the places would have done it in North America.
Absolutely. It'll be a different, definitely a different discussion with council. It's not something we, not one of these things that we discuss all the time, but I will bring it forward. I'm looking forward to the discussion. I've definitely got my own ideas as well on what we can.
Well, your grandmother has one right in front of her house, right?
Yeah, she does. And I believe my grandfather tried to paint it red once and he got in trouble. So it'll be
you can pass. Now you can pass one.
That's right. As long as I'm not in a conflict of interest there, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Moving on from there. If anyone has any other questions about our past minutes or upcoming things for the we're actually moving in. Luke, under new business, we have we've got a couple things here, so let's go through those. We've got committee involvement and projects. Did someone add this onto our agenda here?
Yeah, if I could just clarify that these were suggested by a member of the committee, so I don't have the information, but I can certainly respond to questions or comments when that committee member clarifies the intent.
Sure, absolutely. So we've got committee involvement in projects. Who, someone want to speak to this, whoever added it to the agenda here?
Well, I have a question, though.
Yeah.
On the turf fields, the application for it and that, Luke, have you already sent the, who did the designing of and the cost analysis of it?
We had a landscape architect from Vancouver with a lot of experience in turf field development, and we had him do the layout and the cost estimates.
But who is designing the field house and also the stands?
Oh, that has yet to be determined. So,
okay,
if we get this grant, then I think that would definitely be something to discuss at this committee, right? At this point, we know where the field house would go, likely, right. And where the stands would make sense.
Right.
But that's the extent to which the design has been advanced right now.
Because you know what? In 2010, when we had the grant for the 2010 Olympics, and our committee looked into the field house and also the lights. And I remember going around to the different field houses and talking to the people in Nanaimo, et cetera, and other areas on where they had their field houses. What would they do different? Did they make a mistake? And so I was able to find out, I wouldn't have this or have that. That's why I think somebody from our committee should be on that.
All right. So if we've got nothing else on committee involvement and projects, trail access from Old Fire Hall to Harlech Road. Does somebody add this onto the agenda?
I did, Robert. Yes.
Okay. Peter. Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Well, I've been rather concerned about this, and this was brought up in the Parks and Rec some time ago, and one of the representatives of the staff said that the town didn't want to assume responsibility for upgraded staircase going down to the track area. But things have changed a little bit because we have an affordable housing building going down there with, I believe the current estimate is 52 units going there. So let's assume that maybe 70 people will be living down by the tracks there, and many of them won't have cars, so they'll be wanting access to the center of town. So to do that properly, I think that should be upgraded there. The problem with that is that, of course, part of it falls on the Island Foundation property because it's within 50 feet of the center of the tracks. So, but I would recommend that the town look into this because in that respect, we're going to have that building in there with a number of people living in central town with no safe access to town, the short way. And they're going to be using that area. So that was the reason why I brought that up.
Sure. So I can kind of speak on that one. Luke might also be able to. When the project came for council discussion, I do believe we talked about access from down below up into basically up into town. Mm-hmm. As a whole, Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we had discussed that and staff was looking into it. Am I wrong on that?
As Peter noted, the challenge is that the stairs are pretty much completely on the rail right away. So if we were to propose an improvement or a formalization of those stairs, we'd be looking at a request for approval. And, you know, our experience with the railway is that they're very reluctant to give approvals like this, especially when you're essentially directing people to an unregulated section of track with no pedestrian controls or anything. So it's a project that when you ask could potentially blossom into an enormous project that just makes no sense. So I think we can look at it more, but given my experience, it's just not at the top of my list because they're so hard to deal with on these types of situations.
I would agree.
Okay, so moving on then into number three, update from staff, Rodway Trail. Luke, do you want to give an update on Rodway Trail?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one where people ask over and over, and often we have no update. But in this case, we're just issuing the tender documents for the first phase of construction. So that's the earthworks. And so what you'll see in the end is that rather than the stairs running, okay, if you're to the top of the hill, that rather than the stairs running to the right, you know, onto private property, there's going to be a walkway kind of extending to the left along a modified version of that bluff. And then at the point where it drops off, then that's where the stairs would be. So construction will be in two phases. First, the earthwork to kind of lower the grade at the top of the bank there to minimize that and the height you need for the stairs. Yeah. So that's phase one. And then at the same time, the town is working with Express Custom Trailers to get a custom set of stairs built to get us down the hill. And then the trail will extend from there. I knocked over something, but nothing spilled, if you're worried.
All right. Thank you for that. So we look forward to seeing the project go along with that one. The locomotive.
Well, just a minute. Can I just ask a question of Luke on this one, Robert?
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
I just wonder what the time frame on this one is. Do you have a time frame when those two phases are going to be in operation? No.
Luke, did you want to answer that one?
Oh, my apologies. I muted myself before my profound explanation. So in the winter, earthworks on banks are sometimes subject to delay. So, you know, to be realistic, I'd say it'll be in place in the spring, the stairs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're moving as fast as they can, but with heavy rains and things like that, you can't put machines on the bank.
Right. Okay.
All right, thank you. I guess we can move on next one to the locomotive beautification. This is the first I'm hearing of this one. Luke, I don't know if you can speak to this or not.
This is not one that was brought up by staff, so maybe a member of the committee would like to speak to it.
I can have a go.
Okay, go ahead, Rob.
If we were to look back at our minutes, probably many, many months ago, a year, yes, maybe more, we talked about how the locomotive down by the railway tracks, the old train station, looks like it's in prison with the chain link fence around it and the beautiful roof.
Yeah.
And how we actually made a recommendation that there be some work put to that to make it more attractive with the recognition that, you know, there's concern around vandalism and you know, inappropriate use and liability. So, you know, one simple idea was an extended garden, you know, 10 feet flower beds in front, solar paneled lighting to ensure it's lit during night. We showed some examples in other neighboring communities where fixtures like that are used without a chain link fence around it. So I think it might fit within that town beautification discussion, Robert, sure, that you might want to visit. And it's an old motion that this committee put forward that I don't think we've seen any action on.
Okay, I will follow up. I made a note of that. I will follow up with that one. The last one there is St. Andrews. Now, I want to be careful with this one because this one is a bit hot in town right now. So if it's just an update on what we're doing with the park plan, we can discuss that. But I don't want to go further than that. So whoever added this to the agenda, if we can discuss it. If not, we will move on. All right, perfect. Moving on then. Now, it says roundtable here. That's not really the place or here for the committee. The committee is to discuss agenda items as a whole. We're not really here to do roundtables. So I'm going to dismiss that off the agenda. My reasoning for that is when we start doing roundtables, that's you're getting into discussions that are not on agenda items, and we're here to discuss agenda items and only agenda items. So if you have something specific that's going to come out of a roundtable, we can add it to the agenda for the following meeting. Rob, go ahead.
Just my question. I would deeply appreciate when I agree with your position there completely, but when we have agenda items, it'd be very, very helpful if we have the attached documents to review.
Yes. Okay.
Some sort of context to yes. review for the agenda item.
Absolutely. Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make a suggestion to follow up on that.
Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
I think it would be really important for committee members to provide information, right? So in other words, a call was put out to committee members. Do you have anything you'd like to discuss on the upcoming agenda? And we got one line. So we don't necessarily know what what the context of that discussion is. So maybe if possible in the future, if you'd like to have something on the agenda, you could provide a paragraph at least just to give some context so committee members know what to expect in the meeting.
Absolutely. All right. From that then, motion to adjourn would be appropriate.
I will make that motion to adjourn.
Move, seconded, all in favor? Opposed. Thank you. I will see everyone February 17th.